to get this, because we don't want to be one day waking up in hell. Oh my God. And I'm not trying to judge no one. I'm just looking at the word of God. He said, in hell, he lift up his eyes, being tormented and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Huh? And he carried and he cried out. He died. The rich man cried out and said, Father, Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm being tormented in this flame. Saints of God, today, all I'm asking you to do, search our hearts today and find out, are we following Jesus? I love you, and Jesus does too. And I'm praying that we search our hearts today. Father God, in the name of Jesus, ask these words, God, that you laid on my heart. I'm asking you, God, to touch us, God. God, help us to pick up our cross and follow you and love you with our whole heart. In Jesus, I pray. Amen. Be with you today. God bless you. Have a blessed weekend. I love you, and Jesus does too.
Thank you for tuning in today to the Getting to Know Him broadcast with Pastor Elvira Brevel of the Trinity Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. To correspond with Pastor Brevel or to send a love offering, go to $ Sholanda Nobles. That's $ Sholanda Nobles. Be sure to tune in for the next Getting to Know Him broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this night of revival. Father, I thank you that whatever you've done in the previous days, you've done it the way that you wanted to do it, and we were blessed. Now, Lord, even tonight, we come with the same expectation, expecting your hand of glory and your finger of love for healing and your presence for our joy. We thank you, Lord. And Father, we ask that tonight, even though it's the final night of this revival for 2017, Lord, but we pray that there will be a lingering anointing in the church, Father. Father, we pray for this pastor that you would continue to comfort and keep him. Father, not just him, but his entire family and this church family. Lord, we pray that you would move on them in a mighty way, that they would walk in the peace and the joy of the Lord. Let it be their strength, dear God. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we ask you, Lord, that you give me clarity of thought. And Lord, give me a clear voice to speak. Father, that you give me, Lord God, a ready tongue to speak your word with power and conviction and the anointing that will impact the life of those that hear it tonight. And Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us, that covers us, that cures us, and connects us to you. We thank you for it. The blood that came streaming down. We thank you. Thank you for your word that strengthens us and sustained us through all the trials and tribulations we faced thus far. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost who never leads us astray, who guides us and who gives us what belongs to you so that we might have a piece of heaven here on earth. We thank you for him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, we ask that you grant us the wisdom and knowledge how to minister to the spirit and souls of your people. And Father, that we do nothing in flesh, but let it be done under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that he speaks to us in a way, Lord God, that will cause us to be lifted, that we may love, and that we may laugh in the spirit, Lord, with joy. We thank you now. Thank you for healing us and delivering us and setting us free and blessing us. And Father, we will join in with the many winged seraphim, the many eyed cherubim, the chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy. And your glory fills the earth and it fills me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I got a thought tonight, a title, God Did It Again. God did it again. Now look at your neighbor and tell him the subtitle is Shake It Off. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You don't deserve his presence. You don't deserve his Holy Spirit. But God blesses us with grace. Even when we're disobedient. He looked beyond my faults. Sees my needs. Oh, yeah. Look at this. He says, God's providence, he goes on to talk about it. He says that we were escaping. We found out the island was Melita and the barbarous people. Now, the word, when we say barbarous, the only thing about that, it's not that they were wild people, but it was that anybody, the Greeks said that anybody that didn't speak the Greek language, that they were barbarians because they couldn't understand them. You get that, all right? So it wasn't that they were wild people because you'll find out they were good people. Uh-huh. Paul said they showed us no little kindness, right? They told us no little kindness. And so the crew, even though the crew wanted to kill them, the folks that they had spent months with, the people they had spent months with, here it was, they wanted to kill them. But when they survived the storm, it was strangers that were nice to them. Oh, now you're coming alive, all right? You know how it is sometimes the folks that you roll with, they're the same folks that'll crucify you. The folks that you spend the most time with, they're the same folks that want to see you dead. But guess what? There are some strangers out there that you hadn't met yet, that if whenever you get through your storm, whenever you come out of your storm, God always bring new people in your life to show you some kindness. If you ever notice, you'll see that God always brings somebody you ain't hung with. He always brings somebody you ain't really talked to. And you say, wow, God just blessed me through that individual. And God does that. He will bring strangers in your life to bless you. We're looking for other folks that we go to church with. We're looking for the folks we work with. And God said, the stranger at Walmart gonna pay for your food. The person behind you in the line or whatever. Somebody say amen here. So they had a promise that God was gonna provide. He was going to give them a way of escape, and they barely made it. How many barely made it? Oh, yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a whole bunch of barely made it's for me. Somehow I made it. Yeah. You know, we used to sing that somehow I made it. God brought me what? Through. My soul looked back over so many things, and I wonder how I even made it, how I got over, how things happened, all these things that I encountered. I say, Lord, how did I make it? And I know it had not been nobody but God on my side. That was a reason why. And since that was a reason why, Paul said, the reason I know I'm going to make it is because God told me that I got to preach at Rome. If God has told you you got to be somewhere, you can just bank on whatever the day is. I ain't worried about it. God said, I gotta be there. I'm going to be there. Ain't no devil in hell can stop it. Ain't no people can stop it. It ain't enough witches and warlocks to pray against me that can stop the thing that God has for me. Ain't no Jezebel spirit can hold me back. Ain't no Ahab spirit can get me out of my stuff. I wish I had somebody. It ain't no Saul spirit can throw enough javelins to make me miss what God has for me. Do I have anybody in the house that say it doesn't matter what the devil does, I'm still going to make it. I'm still going to get there. I may make it on broken pieces. I may barely get in the house, but I'm going to be in the house. I don't care what you got to say. Oh, come on and say amen in this house. I was listening to somebody talk about somebody the other day. They was talking about what blessing they had. And they said, oh, they barely made it. They ain't have enough money, but look like somebody helped them. And now they're all that debt they're going to be. And I was like, but they got what they wanted. They got whatever God had for them. It doesn't matter how they got it. It doesn't matter if they barely made it. Thank God they made it. I'm glad God blessing somebody that let me know that if God is in the neighborhood, I could be next. So I'm not going to be rejoicing if it's in Dallas. I might be. But if it's in Natchitoches, I'm definitely going to rejoice, because I know if the Lord do it on this side of the bridge, that he'll do it on that side of the bridge. It's just a matter of time before he gets to my house. Do I have anybody in the house? Oh, glory to his name. Glory to his name. I'm going to try to get finished here. He said that they didn't show no little kindness. No little kindness. You know, these people were strangers to them. But the folks they've been rolling with, you know how you roll. I roll, man, me, we roll together, and now they don't like you. You know, all it takes is a trial, and people will change their mind about you. While they were on the ship, everything was good. But when the storm happened, then they want to kill something. You know how it is. While we rolling together and things going our way, we all right. But as soon as something turns, I want to do something to you. That's what happened to Paul. But God let some strange folks come about. And the Bible said, Luke says they showed us no little kindness. In other words, they went out the way for us. The word kindness in the Greek is the word philanthropion, which means, you know, where we get the word philanthropy, where we do nice things in the community for people, for humanity, where we work and we show our love toward humanity. This is what those people did. When they found them, he says, look at this. He said that they received us, everyone. They didn't discriminate. Sound like the church, huh? The church shouldn't what? We should receive everyone. And he said, because of the present rain, because they had been in a storm, because of the cold, because they could not stand against the elements of what it was, they said, look, we have a place for you. And the church should be the same way. We should meet people and they come in strangers, but we treat them like family. We should make sure that they come out of the rain and out of the cold into a warm place where they feel the warmth of God's love. Do I have any witnesses here? So he says now, and when Paul was gathering, Paul, look at God's power. We've seen God's providence, and we've seen God's favor because he saved them. But let's look at God. He got power. It says, when Paul was gathering a bundle of sticks, because these people had built a fire already.
All right.
And you see, somebody builds a fire for us, but it's up to us to keep it burning.
Yeah.
But instead of us keeping it burning, we complain about it going out when we're the ones supposed to keep it burning.
Yeah.
Oh, come on and say amen. If you complaining about the song service and you ain't up praising God yourself, you need to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
If you complaining about the preaching and you ain't saying amen, you need to keep your mouth shut. You can't complain about the fire I'm building. If you're trying to stay warm, you need to get some sticks. Tell somebody, get some sticks. Quit complaining about my prayer. If you can't say amen at the end of it, get you some sticks and let's put some fire together. Let's make this thing blaze up. Paul was gathering a bundle of sticks. I'm almost done. Y'all don't believe me, but I am. He said, and laid them on the fire.
Yes.
Now, I looked at this and I said, I wonder why the snake never came, never bit Paul the whole while. He carried a bundle of sticks. And Paul probably just, you know, talking to the Lord, praying in the spirit. And, you know, he going over to put this on the fire. And the snake never did anything. Never did nothing. As long as he was carrying it. Some of us been carrying snakes a long time. And the thing about the snake, he ain't going to do nothing until he feels some heat. Lord have mercy. That's why y'all better get warm. I'm telling you, you can't keep yourself cold all the time. You got this cold nature about you. You're cold in the spirit. You're cold when people speak to you. Cold. And you, when it heat up, you're going to find that you got some snakes in your bosom. Can I preach like that in the house? I wondered, I said, why didn't the snake bite him as soon as he picked him up? Well, the snake couldn't bite him because it was too cold for the snake to move. And once he got warm enough, the same person carrying him is the first one he bit. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens to us Christians. We carry folks. But when it gets warm and they can move a little bit, when they can, you know, when they can stretch a little bit, they look for the first part, the one that carried me, I'm going to bite him and try to kill him. Anybody ever carried some folks and they turn around and bit you? Anybody ever helped somebody out and it backfired on you? Well, let me tell you, don't you worry about it, because that bite didn't do nothing but glorify God. That bite didn't do nothing but show them who you really were. That bite didn't do anything but put you in a position where when other people look at you, they don't see what the snake saw. They see what God sees. I wish I had somebody in the house. I'm almost done, y'all. I hope you're happy now. Oh, look at the text. Let's go on. I'm telling you some good stuff in this text. I hope I'm bringing something out you ain't been looking at. I hope you see it now. Look at what he said. He said he was bearing a bundle of sticks, and he laid them on the fire, and there came a viper out of the heat. Out of the heat, out of the fire came the viper and fastened to his hand. Fastened to his hand. The same hand Paul healed with. The same hand he put together to pray with. The same hand he lifted up to God to praise with. He bit that hand. And the Bible says that when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, there's no doubt that he escaped. He's a murderer or something. He escaped. You know, and sometimes people judge you based on what the snake has done to you. Yeah, they do. Because it depends on who said what they said about you. People automatically got an idea of what you're about. They got an idea. They think they know you based on what the snake said. But if they heard the hiss and if they had discernment, they're no better than believing the snake. Come on and say amen here. See, and notice something. It seems like Paul and him had been through a storm. He had been in prison. He was going through trial after trial. And now this, death was supposed to happen. But if any man be in Christ, Lord have mercy here. You won't taste of death, he said. Oh, all right. He says this venomous beast, he hang on his hand. Paul let them see it. They saw him snake bit after he'd been through all that he'd been through, and he made it through that. This little old snake finna take him out. They saw it hanging out Paul's hand, and Paul shook it off. He shook it off. They said that he's a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, and if the sea can't drown you, the snake wanna bite you. Y'all, somebody got that. And they said, yet vengeance suffered not to live. They got a bit superstitious there because they were tribal people. And he said, vengeance suffered him not to live. And you know, we do believe you reap what you sow. We say, what goes around what? But then we got these Christians who don't know what they're talking about, and they talking about karma. I'm not Buddhist. I believe in what God said. He said, you reap what you sow. Now, some of us probably need to hope for crop failure because we sowed some bad seed. Oh, yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, but we, you know, you reap what you sow. So it pays for us to sow good seed, because maybe the good seed will come up more than the bad seed. And then when the bad seed do come up, I got enough good seed that I ain't worried about the bad. Come on and say amen now. And so he said he suffered him not to live, and Paul shook off the beast in the fire and felt no harm. The one thing I love about Paul is Paul's composure throughout the whole ordeal. He knew that they were going to be all right when the ship was wrecked. He knew that they were going to make it in, because the Holy Ghost told him not one person will be lost in this shipwreck. Paul had confidence and faith. Nobody else on the ship had it except him and his companion Luke. I wish I had somebody. Ain't nobody else believed it but them two. And so guess what? Even though everybody else didn't believe, God still did what he said he was going to do. And I came to let somebody know, maybe there's a whole bunch of people in the house that don't believe, but if I can get just two, the Bible said if two touching anything and agreeing on earth that the Father in heaven will perform it, do I have any two people just touch somebody and say, I agree. I agree that God will make a way. I agree that you'll come out of this thing. I agree that you'll make it through the storm. I agree that you'll make it past the snake bite. I agree that whatever lie they told, you'll live past the lie. I agree that your next doctor's appointment is going to come out good. Now come on and say amen in here. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I agree? Oh, we got to stop disagreeing so much in church. We disagree with the pastor. We disagree with the deacons. The deacon and the pastor disagree. Then the rushers are disagree. Everybody disagree. Who in the world in the house is going to agree with me tonight that we're going to stop disagreeing and we're going to find what it is that we can agree on? The Bible said, how can two walk together except they agree? And I'm tired of walking with people that don't agree with me. I want to walk with some folks that say we're going to make it. I want to walk with some folks that say that the church will provide. I want to walk with some folks that said we can get healing right here in the church. I want to walk with some folks that ain't looking at why people come to the altar for gospel, but they're looking for the gospel. I wish I had somebody in the house that agreed with me tonight. God did it again. He brought them out of one storm, and he took them to another place where there was something else that happened. God did it again. Don't you know that every time God bring you out, God ain't running out of times to bring you out. He can do it again. I wish I had somebody tonight. Oh yeah, every time God heals you, he ain't say that's your limit. I ain't healing you no more, but he can heal you again. Every time God gives you a testimony, he's not saying that's all your testimony I'm going to give you. God said, I'm going to give you something else one more time. I can do it again. If God did it before, I guarantee that God is able to do it again. Come on and shout glory in here. Oh, we look at God's power. We look at God's power here. Because the Bible says that when he shook off the beast into the fire, Paul said, I don't feel no harm. Paul didn't even notice the beast. He didn't even notice the snake bite. He just shook it off and kept on going. He went back to doing what he was doing. You see, some of us, we do too much. We just do way too much. If something happens to us, we want everybody to know. Let me get on the telephone and I'm finna call my friends, because I know if they don't like me, my friends ain't gonna like them. Let me find somebody, my ride or die, who gonna go with me, and we gonna show them something, we gonna tell them something. That's how we do, you know. But Paul said, I ain't worried about this. He said, I ain't gotta tell nobody. I ain't gotta say, oh, look what happened to me, something bit me. I ain't gotta show you no marks, but all I'm gonna do is shake it off. Do I have anybody in the house? Come on and put those hands up in the air. I felt that one. You got to shake it. Somebody's shaking some stuff off. You're shaking some things off your life. You're shaking some things people said about you. You're shaking some labels off. You're shaking some depression off. You're shaking some sickness off. Come on, shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off in the name of Jesus. Come on, I'm shaking this devil off. Come on, tell your neighbor, I'm shaking it off. Come on, call it out. Whatever it is, say, I'm shaking it off. I'm shaking off this depression. I'm shaking off all the lies. I'm shaking off all the labels. I'm shaking off all the mess. I'm shaking off all the stress. I'm shake, 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 shake. Shake it off. Oh, hallelujah. Tell somebody, say, you need to be like the old goat that fell in the well. Put the dirt on top of you. You shake it off and pack it under your feet so that you can keep rising. Oh, come on and say amen here and give God some praise. But when I look at what Paul did, he said he shook off the beast. And they said, how be it? They looked at him and they were waiting on him to swell up. Well, you know, Paul would have swollen with sickness, but some of us swell up because we swell up mad. We swell up. we get all been out of shape. They were waiting on Paul to panic. They were waiting on Paul to die. But Paul didn't die. Do you know that you can't die unless God called for you? Do you know that your trial, the Bible said they come to try you. That's why James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Do I have a witness in the house? Come on and shout glory. Oh, come on and shout praise God. Is he all right in the house? They saw Paul and they finally realized that ain't nothing gonna happen. I like what the scripture says. It said they watched him for a while. They stopped what they were doing and they keyed in on Paul. Do you know that sometimes God will let people watch you for sake of his testimony, for so they can be believers, so that you can be a witness? That's why they're talking about you. That's why they got your name on the street, because God said they're watching you. But let them watch on. Watch what God does. Watch how God heals. Watch how God delivers. Watch how God protects me. Do I have anybody that say, I'm going to let them watch? You can turn your favorite show off, because here I am to show you what the Lord can do. God can take a little boy straight out of the brickyard, bring him to a pulpit, put a word in his mouth, tell y'all to say yeah, and you say yes. Oh, come on and give him praise. Come on and give God glory. Is he all right? I say, is he all right? When we look at the text, he said, after a great while, after they sat there a while and they saw wasn't nothing going to happen, they changed their minds. What did they change their mind about? At first they said, he must be a murderer. He must be a bad man. He must be no good. You know how people talk about you. But when they see ain't nothing happen to you, when they see the favor of God on you, it changes their mind. And now they say, oh, that's a blessed man of God. Oh, that's a blessed woman of God. Oh, their children are blessed. Look like the whole family blessed. They can't help but say good things because of what the Lord has done. Do I have anybody that say, I'm going to let them watch me so God can show them that he is a way maker. He made a way for me. I'm going to let them watch me so they'll realize that God is not a doctor. He don't have to practice medicine, but God is a healer, and he can speak a word, and with his stripes, I can be healed. Somebody say yes. It reminds me, this reminds me of the word of God, where in John chapter number 3, it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now what did Moses do when the people were snake bit? He lifted up a cross, had a serpent on it. He said, as long as you look at it, you'll be healed. They kept their eyes on it. The snake was still biting, but it didn't fall dead. They kept their eyes on the cross. If I came to tell you tonight, if you keep your eyes on the cross, it doesn't matter how many times the snake bites you, you still gonna live. Doesn't matter how many times the enemy comes to you, you're still gonna live. The Bible says that the enemy comes in like a flood, but the Spirit of God lift up a standard. Come on and shout yeah. Shout yes. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Come on and give God some praise. I'm talking about Jesus, who came down here through 39 prophets and 42 generations. He died, so I don't have to die like that. But he didn't stay dead, because early he got up with all power. Somebody say yes. Do you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Jesus. They call him the Ancient of Days. He's Adam's Redeemer. He's Abel's Vindicator. He's Noah's Ark. He's Abraham's Sacrifice. He's Aaron's Rod that had a bud. Oh, come on and shout yes. He's Moses' burning
bush. He's Joshua's battle axe in the time of battle. Come on and shout glory. He's Gideon's fleece. He's Samson's power. He's David's song. He's Solomon's wisdom. Jeremiah's bomb in Gilead. He's Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's Job's horse pouring in the valley. Say yes. He's Daniel's muzzle for the lion's den. Say yes. He's the Hebrew boy's fire chief. Say yes. He's Matthew's king. He's Mark's suffering servant. Luke's great physicians. John